We are back! Hey, 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 yo, 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 my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And yes, you are in fact listening to the Carolyn Shield Show!
Fall down a cliff?
How's it going, Carolyn? How you doing?
I'm good.
It's a brand new week. It's getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. Are we in May? I don't know. I forget. We're in May. Yes.
And...
Summer movie time.
We have a whole bunch of awesome events coming up.
That's great. Yes, a whole bunch of awesome events. A whole bunch of heat on my back. You know, it just feels like a couple of weeks ago it was so cold and it was so rainy, and now it's just burning. I don't know what I like more. I like nothing. I want the apocalypse, man. I guess that means I want some heat. I want some torch. I don't know. Maybe it's gonna be an ice age.
I was just gonna say, how do you think it's gonna go down?
I think it's gonna go down.
Well, can you pick like hot or cold?
It's probably
or
gonna
water.
Be, or water. That'd be the worst, is water. That'd be the one I dislike it the most.
So you'd rather have a fire than water?
I don't know. Just, all of it just evaporate all at once. It all just sort of disappears all at the same time. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're here giving you the hits, the exclusive content that you could have only seen or heard live from AwesomeCon if you were there several weeks ago. We're bringing you this week another exclusive panel. This week, it's exclusive. This week, only this week only on the Carolyn and Joe Show, you'll be able to hear live, a live recording of the pro wrestling panel, Pro Wrestling Today, the new movement that had me, it had Ben Penrod, it had Ben Taylor, and from DC 101, Mike Jones. There's a lot of surprises in this
and
in this panel.
Dan.
And there's a lot of prizes that are that you might discover once you start listening to this. But there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you might have never heard or seen. But I thought it was actually a pretty exciting panel. Rumor, the story behind it is that, like, there was a miscue on time of when the panel should start. So there's people there when I just arrived there. So there was almost this little sort of combustible element already to the beginning of the show. If no one knows what's going to happen, is the panel still happening? So it was one of those things where it was like, is Joe going to show up? Is Ben going to show up? Is Mike going to show up? So like, we didn't know what was going to happen. But if you guys listen to this panel, it is a great wrestling. It is one of the best wrestling panels ever you can ever hear
wow.
live.
I can't wait to listen to it because I did not see the panel live, and so this is my first time listening to it.
It was great.
I guess hearing what happened.
It was cool. There were several interruptions. I'm hoping that the recording
run-ins.
There's several run-ins. There were run-ins, guys. It was cool because after the show, there was even like a photo op with all of us. It was weird. It was interesting. But it was great having them all on those panels. I hope to keep on bringing that to you guys every single year. The Pro Wrestling Panel. Pro Wrestling Today, New Movement, or whatever we decide to name it again. It was pretty exciting. It was good because it was actually girls were asking us questions, so that was cool. That was actually what
every
that was
guy
actually,
loves girls asking.
Every guy loves girls, and then if the girls don't like him, they get mad at him. Carolyn's news.
It's time. We're here. Okay, we're in May now, and this coming Saturday is May 17th, and Joe and I will be at the Gaithersburg Book Festival in Maryland. I'm really excited to be a part of this, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it will be awesome because they have so many authors on their website. Check it out and see who's going to be there. So many authors, so many books, pounds of books. It will be monumental. And also, later this month on May 31st, I'm planning a blood drive called Cartoonist Draw Blood. We did this last fall, and we saved the lives of up to 90 strangers. Pretty amazing. In one day, so many amazing things happened. At the last day of the whole month, May 31st, Saturday, May 31st, from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., we will be at Seekers Church, which is near Tacoma Metro, right across the street from Tacoma Metro. We'll have so many amazing artists there, including myself, Steve Artley, Eric Gordon, Mel Jones, Teresa Roberts-Logan, Jay Payne, Matt Rawson, and Joe Sotif. We'll all be there, and we'll be drawing for you. And if you donate blood, you get a free sketch. And I want to just point out that we are not taking your blood from you. Cartoonists are not poking you with needles.
That's right.
This is the American...
Poking you with pencils.
Yes, exactly. This is the American Red Cross doing this. This is legitimate. This is official. It's
professional
real.
Blood drawers.
Yes. And if you want to schedule an appointment, email cartoonists, drawblood@gmail.com, and we'll arrange a time for you. And, you know, we're going to have two people every 15 minutes. So that should be pretty amazing. A whole bunch of people cycling in through the day, getting the blood drawn, meeting us, meeting local cartoonists, and picking up magic bullets and lots of other cool things that we might have for you. Really enjoyable, really fun, good way to give back and feel good about yourself. And also, you know, just in case you're hesitant about doing that type of stuff, I just want to let you know that Joe and I actually donated blood last fall.
That's true.
At the Cartoonist Draw Blood.
That's very true.
And
there's pictures of it too.
I was like, you know, hesitant. Like, I mean, I was all about it that day. You know, I'm going to do it. But, you know, leading up to it, like, if you were to ask me a few months before, I would be scared about it. So, but I actually had no problem doing it at all. I didn't feel dizzy. But make sure you drink a lot of fluids and make sure you eat a good meal before you draw your blood.
Absolutely.
So take good care of yourself, like as you should be doing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's definitely a good event, great event. So join us at Cartoonist Draw Blood on May 31st. If you want more information, you can go to curls-studio.com. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this wrestling panel.
Wrestling.
It's quite unique. Because we had a bigger room than what we had the year before, and it was pretty good sized room. We even had an interruption by the Awesome Con documentary crew that, you know, it'd be really great if I can get that footage and load it up and get everyone to see it. But it was pretty awesome. We got a good chant going that I think a lot of people should pretty much pay attention to.
Was it a yes chant?
It was something that people got to tune in to listen to later on, a couple minutes.
Tune in
a couple minutes.
Yes.
Loading that thing
yes.
up, but it's
yes.
what's it's really cool because there was a lot of girls there, and like I don't know, people start to think that like, oh, I feel like what's happening is like there's this switch, man. There's things that, you know, guys used to think only guys can be into, now girls are getting into, and now it's not just becoming a boys' club. Now girls are allowed to be
for
into
everybody.
This. Yeah, all ages, all groups. Definitely.
Comics and wrestling are for everybody, I think. Because, like, I thought that, like, going to a few live wrestling shows myself, I was like, man, it's going to be easy to go to the bathroom here. It's going to be no line. I'm going to be the only chick.
Yeah.
But there's, like, so many chicks in line and stuff. It's pretty amazing. And even at every comic show, so many women. I think the gender gap is becoming less and less.
Absolutely. And you'll definitely see that or hear that in this podcast. So, everyone, take a seat, put your headphones on, or take a ride in your car. Get ready. Live from Awesome Con. Pro Wrestling Today, the new movement. With me, Ben Taylor, Ben Penrod, Dan Noakes, and DC101's Mike Jones. Catch you after the show, Carolyn.
See ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pro Wrestling Today, the new movement. To my left, from across the pond, Mr. Ben Taylor. How you doing, Ben?
I'm okay, yeah.
You doing all right?
Yeah, I was kind of worried that I was here for a while and like no one else had showed, and I was like, am I gonna have to do the panel alone?
That would have been awesome. Awesome. One-man show. To the far left, from DC101, and also the man who's actually faced Batista face-to-face.
And probably kicked his ass.
I can work better than he can, I'll tell you that.
And yeah. Can wear, and just wear.
Just the knees once and he goes down like a sack of potatoes.
And can wear better skinny jeans than Batista can any day.
I hate to break to you, but this table can work better than Batista.
So,
one,
Mr. Mike Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
And now, surprise entrant. You
in
guys.
The Royal Rumble.
In the Royal Rumble, Mr. Dan Noakes.
Woo!
Take a bow.
Woo! What am I doing right now?
Thanks, everybody. Second time having this show. I'm always blown away that, like, DC is freaking in love with professional wrestling. Do you guys love professional wrestling?
Yeah!
All right, I just want to do a survey real quick. What do you guys want us to talk about? Do you guys want us to talk about TNA?
No!
Yeah!
Well, it's going to happen because Dan's on the panel.
I win.
Do you guys, would you guys like us to talk about Ring of Honor?
Yes!
Would you guys like us to talk about Total Divas?
Yes!
If we're talking Total Divas, I'm here.
Would you like?
We're actually supposed to be talking about wrestling, not crappy reality TV.
I was doing what I normally do.
So that means we have to leave out Legends House as well.
So I'm gonna do my best to somehow delegate these awesome personalities and maybe inject myself into this.
Guys, back. Guys in the back. Move forward. We like having some question and answer.
Yes.
Move forward.
Actually, I'm not gonna start this yet. This is the Jesus pose. I want to start this with a crowd question. Is that cool with you?
Who's
can I pick the person?
Guys? What?
Can I pick the person to ask the question?
Sure.
I'm
going
to pick the person to ask. No, even though you're raising your hand. All right, yeah, go ahead. But you have to take the mic, though. You have to walk up there.
You should be warned. You guys should be warned. We are going to try and keep this like PG-13.
Well,
because there are kids in the room.
Yeah. So I have my own beliefs of why, but why do you guys believe Macho Man has not been inducted yet?
I know why.
All right, let's take one at a time. We'll go one at a time. But I'll start with you, man.
All right. Actually, what's happened is the Poffo family have been approached.
Yeah.
Because when Randy died, Lanny took over his heir and estate because Elizabeth's not with us, et cetera. Danny Lex Luger. And Lanny actually wants the entire Poffo family to go in. And the WWE actually wants to put Randy in on his own first. And I think it's completely appropriate that they do that. That's not to say the Poffo family shouldn't be in, but I think Randy should have his moment in the spotlight.
What about you, Dan?
Same thing.
Alright, what about you, Mike?
I mean, Randy's a legend, of course he should go in there first.
Absolutely.
Before the Poffo family, you know, yeah. When I think of the 80s, early 90s, it's, you know, Hulk and Randy. You know,
Flair went in before the Horsemen.
Yeah, exactly. And the Poffo family will have their time eventually.
Absolutely, and I'm not saying they shouldn't go in.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that Randy deserves to go in first.
And on that night, I mean, he should be the main attraction that night. There's nobody else that can touch Randy.
No.
Unless Vince suddenly pops his gloves.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, it's okay. I'm gonna bring down your friend so I can we can have eye contact right now.
Yeah.
So what did you guys think of the Hall of Fame? Did you guys enjoy the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely. That's actually my favorite night of WrestleMania weekend.
Did you have a favorite moment?
It was either the time that Jake the Snake made me cry. His whole induction speech just broke me to tears.
Were you a Jake the Snake fan? Were any of you guys, fans of Jake the Snake?
Definitely.
Did you?
I'm a huge Jake the Snake fan. But the other thing is I've dealt with alcoholism in my family. So that touched another personal note. And the other moment was Arn Anderson and Rey Mysterio drinking a beer with Lita.
They forgot about Rey.
Huh?
They forgot about Rey.
No, Arn just stole both beers because he went to double fist.
They were tall boys too, which was nice.
And if you know about anything about Arn Anderson, he can drink. So, that was my favorite moment of all.
What about you, Mike?
I like the Jake moment. I mean, his whole speech was just heart-wrenching and everything. Yeah. And the fact that he's been so open about his, you know, greatness and then complete fall off the cliff of life. You know, he has no problem talking about that. That and Scott Hall, I think, the bad guy. His speech was a little too short for my liking.
Yeah,
I wish there would have been a lot more of Scott Hall.
He was with
Carlos Colon too.
I wish there had been a shout out to DDP and Scott Hall's.
Yeah, I mean, he's the reason that Scott and Jake are in there.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that was the one thing that stuck out to me that, you know, Scott said, bad times don't last, but bad guys do.
Yeah.
You know, Ultimate Warrior, hey, rest in peace. Yeah. His speech was a little long, as we expected, but...
Yeah, but it wasn't Mr. T.
No. I'm trying to block that moment out of my head.
72 mothers, that's all I'm saying.
But no, the whole night was just, you know, a great ceremony, and it just showed why that's one of their premier events every year that's not on pay-per-view.
And I'm so glad they're now airing it live on the WWE Network.
Do all of you have the WWE Network?
I do not as of yet, no.
You don't?
No.
It's just free, you get a free
I don't
week.
Know if you've heard.
Thank you, spokesman from WWE Network.
If he was a real spokesman from WWE, he wouldn't be wearing a CM Punk.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, face it, dude. They want nothing to do with that cat right now.
You got a question, sir?
WWE is taking enough time to teach you how to download the app.
My question, speaking of the new movement, of course, the WWE Network is definitely the latest thing in the market and the industry. I like it. I think a lot of people, over 600,000 people like it, but at the same time, you know, the stock went down because they thought it was going to get a million, but it didn't get a million at the time frame, and of course, it stopped going down the day after WrestleMania. So my question would be, do you think that hopefully 999 will still last, and do you think the WWE Network will continue to be where it is and hopefully upgrade, and maybe one day be on satellite or cable network or the cable channel?
Dominance, they're going to monopolize everything eventually.
They already do.
I mean, I was really worried about getting the network at first because, of course, like, you know, you went that first week and you're like, it's going to be glitchy and still stuff isn't really working. But now pretty much, I spend a lot of my time on my computer, you know, like editing photos or films, and I have two monitors, and one monitor just has the network on the whole time.
I'm sitting there on playing video games, and the other monitor is Legends of Wrestling.
So what was Mike, what was the first thing that you... As soon as you got the network, what was the first thing you tried to look for?
WrestleMania 3. After the first 3 days of it not working, then I finally got it up and running, and I went and watched WrestleMania 3.
Was that like an epiphany? Then you started just watching more stuff after
that? Yeah, it's just like you see that first thing, and you're like, oh my god, I forgot how awesome this stuff is. And you're not watching it on your old VHS tapes or anything that you still have in the basement or something like that. You know, you can just... pull it up right there on demand. And you know, as to your question, sir, about whether it'll be $10 a month, I mean, would you guys be willing to pay 15 or 20? Because I certainly would, even for the cost of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
If it's $240 a year, I have no problem with that. You know, but like, whatever they want to charge.
Exactly. If I were to just pay, like, because how many people bought the pay-per-views before the WWE Network? Do all of you now have WWE Network? All right, so if you bought the pay-per-views, it's actually $50 cheaper a month to get WWE Network, and you can watch all the old stuff. Why have you not done it?
Because maybe they might have lives, though.
And?
But even still, though.
It's money saving. Even if you only log on once a month to watch the pay-per-view, you're still saving $50.
Yeah, it's crazy, though, because like I'm a filmmaker, and everyone's always like, why haven't you got Netflix? You can always get like any movie that you really want.
It's not the WWE Network.
But of course, it's not the WWE. It's pretty. I got the network, and I was like, oh my god, I can watch like ECW at any time. But one thing about that really disappointed me, of course, is that like with ECW, the redubbing still just kills me.
Yeah.
Like the music they put in for the Sandman or the Tommy Dreamer and all like the just.
But you got to understand.
I'm purely. But it's almost like at that point, I'm like just Ring of Honor and just cut it right to the match.
Yeah.
Yes. Wait a minute, you look familiar.
Were you wearing a Hulk Hogan shirt last year?
You were wearing
a
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, brother!
But I got questions about WWE the past lead up to now.
Yes.
No, it's just I blog about professional wrestling.
Yeah.
So I think you might have seen my blog.
I have.
Yeah. Basically, I just put WWE up to now, say, with the return of Batista, who's from this area. No, and one question, how many of you grew up in this area?
I grew up in this area.
Okay.
Oh, I did.
I think we can all agree that we're all proud of Batista and what he's done.
Wait, are you saying we can't be proud of Alex Riley?
We're proud of him too, but what has WWE done with him lately? They just...
He's become the best analyst in the network.
I think he's pretty damn awesome on the network.
That's what we've overcome right there.
I'm sorry, if you've spent any time watching NXT, the commentary team on NXT smokes the main commentary team.
Absolutely, it does.
Well, smokes any commentary on TNA.
A, they're talking about the matches and not, you know, the app or what, you know, nonsense JBL's got coming up.
Perfect example, right? Go back about two, three, four episodes ago. I think it was the episode right before NXT arrival. And there is a match on there between Emma and Sasha and Alicia Fox. Mm-hmm. Now, traditionally, people don't give a about Divas Wrestling, right?
No.
But I will say this. They called that match in such a way, I cared.
Mm-hmm.
They called the moves, why they work, they gave us the psychology, and I was like, wow, put that on Raw, and I might care that AJ Lee has been champion for 200 odd days, and then loses it to Paige with the worst Paige turner ever.
And I want to reiterate the fact of how important just real good commentary really is. I really can't stand Mike Tenay. I said this last year, but whenever, that's the true reason why I can't even really watch TNA properly, because it's Mike Tenay giving the most phony...
It's not like them copying every WWE yeah. storyline from the last like 2 years.
It's literally like a 10-second delay commentary, but like it's like on the nose, and telling them, oh man, yeah, I don't know, I can't really describe it.
The word you're looking for is bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like fire. I need a petition to... A White House petition to fire Tenay. We can't.
White House petition to fire Tenay.
You have another question.
I got more. Even with WWE up to now, say, do you think they spent more time promoting the WWE Network and say like they have promoting Alexander Rusev and Lana, which is very impressive, by the way.
What, Lana?
Lana and Rusev.
Lana?
Ravishing Russian.
I'll say this about Alexander Rusev. Kozlov didn't work. Ryback didn't work. Why do they think that Rusev's going to work?
Well, there's...
We're in a day and age where you have Adrian Neville as the NXT champion, Daniel Bryan as the world champion. Your favorite wrestlers are people like CM Punk, Adam Rowe, Sami Zayn. Do we really need another muscle brown freak? We've already got Batista, and we've already got the idiot that's Brock Lesnar. Why do we need another one?
Well, here's the thing, Ben. I might agree with you, but I'm underneath... I belong to the Paul Heyman family of... If you have good writing, you can make anyone get over. Just the simplified.
Yeah.
You can make it work. I think it really comes down to the creative. If they were really creative, that's always the question. They can make that work.
Even to this day, Vince loves the Roy guys.
Yes,
absolutely, he does.
He does, but I think we're in a day and age where we're finally starting to get through to him that it doesn't need to be voided. I mean, look at the, in my opinion, two out of the three greatest wrestlers of all time, Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair.
Yeah.
They weren't roid nerds.
That was Bruno Sammartino.
Bruno Sammartino.
I mean,
Bret Hart. Bret Hart.
I mean, but
I'm not saying that Vince doesn't love his roid guys, but we got a lot of roid guys to go around right now. John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, Triple H, Biggie Langston.
But let's think about this though. There is the idea of the visual of what a pro wrestler is.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But you don't need to be a roided out freak like Rusev.
Late test.
Where you, or when I can just go when I can just go Cesaro.
Yeah.
It feels like a one-upmanship whenever you see the next big... Look, you got Ryback, now you got this new guy that's coming in. That's bigger than Ryback.
Remember Bruckus, or whatever his name? Bruckus.
Nathan Jones.
Nathan Jones. let's go through the list of the Roy now guys, man.
Can I say this about Rusev, though? He could work if he can work. And
yes.
That's the most important thing, because Ryback can't work.
And I've not seen Rusev in a match that's lasted longer than a minute.
Right.
They've all been against Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
Consequences Creed.
Yeah, I missed that.
But let's not put Rusev in that category yet until we see if he can handle himself in the ring and be a superstar.
Because we're still
the guy with muscles.
Because we're still in the establishing of the character phase.
Yeah.
We need at least like 3 more months.
I will say this. I could be easily happy if they just took the entire NXT roster and dumped them on Raw right now.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't want to make it sound harsh, but you can't blow your load too quick.
No, I'm just talking about being happy with the state of NXT.
It's true.
I mean, you have more... Alright, controversial statement here. But you have more talented wrestlers in NXT, and you get more fans at an NXT taping than you get at a TNA live event.
Yeah, but at the same...
An NXT regular event draws a bigger crowd than a TNA pay-per-view.
That's totally understandable. But remember, when they were making...
Right?
When Def Leppard was making Hysteria, Pyromania, each album, one hit. Bring the next hit over. You gotta be sort of patient if you want to draw a lot of money.
I get it, but I'm just saying that it's nice to have this foundationary base where, let's say, please don't let this happen.
What?
Like, Dean Ambrose were to get hurt. You could call up Sami Zayn in an instant.
I love Dean Ambrose.
Me too. But you could call up Sami Zayn in an instant and be like, you've got a spot on the roster.
Now put on a mask and speak Spanish.
Yeah. You could call up Dude, they already have called up Adam Rose. Bo Dallas, Adrian Neville.
Like, what, wait, Adam Rose. Adam Rose, the all-time, what is it, the party? Is that
the Party Express.
Okay.
Adam Rose is your new favorite wrestler, you just don't know it yet.
Let me ask you this. If you were writing for Adam Rose, do you guys know Adam Rose at this point?
Yep.
How exactly, how do you feud with Adam Rose?
Stop the party.
Who would be the perfect person to feud with Adam Rose then? Bad News Bear.
That's a good point. He would stop the party.
Yeah. Bad News Bear would be awesome.
Yeah. The perfect, that's a good starting point for Adam Rose.
Then again, I want to see Bad News Bear feud with everybody. I want to see Bad News Barrett feud with literally everybody in the Federation. The best moment on TV, or one of the best moments on WWE TV in the last few months, is where he came on and started doing commentary on the Miz Brodus Clay match.
Yes.
And he started the "This is boring" chant before the match even started. He's like, "I've got some bad news."
I loved a couple of weeks ago again him and against Mysterio. Mysterio just got.
That was the night after WrestleMania. And like, he started to do, "I've got some bad news," Rey Mysterio slapped him, and the crowd was just like, "Get the hell out of here. We want to hear the bad news."
Yeah. Now, this sort of links up to Bad News Bear, because I first started really getting into the character of Bad News Bear watching the
JBL and Cole show
mm-hmm. with Renee Young. And I'm going to say...
And I'm okay with that.
I'm sort of a massive Renee Young fan, guys.
I am a Renee Young
fan. Do you guys like Renee Young? Yeah. I mean, just because I'm asking you a question, it doesn't mean you have to all say yes. If you agree or not, you can say no, it's okay.
I'll say this. She is the interviewer that WWE needs.
Yeah.
Because she can be fun, she can be light, she can be hardy.
You can hang out
she
with her.
She can do gravitas.
Dan, do you like Renee Young? I want to know your personal feelings on Renee Young.
Personal feelings, Dan.
Your dreams.
My personal feelings?
Yes. Is she better than Angelina Love?
Is she better than Angelina Love?
This table's better than that. I'm saying that a lot.
You love this table.
No, it's great.
Give it a WWE contract now.
But do you like Angelina Love? This is basically a segment to you talking about divas, so just line that up.
I thought Angelina Love was great on TNA. I thought she was.
Renee Young. Talk about Renee Young.
Oh, you say all right. Sorry. Renee Young. Yeah, I think she's good. I mean, I don't have exactly huge personal feelings for him. Not on your guys' level, but you know, I can see where you guys are coming from. Yes, and no.
I really want to see Renee Young and Paul Heyman locked in a room for an hour and just record it.
That sounds really freaky, man.
Just let them talk about wrestling.
Paul Heyman's like, "I got a question for you, Renee."
He's the best mic man in the business right now.
I think they're both the best mic people. Yeah.
Did you guys get a chance to listen to Renee do those 30 years of WrestleMania podcasts?
Yep. Were they pretty good?
Did you ever watch any of Renee's stuff when she was still on The Score in Canada?
Yeah.
With Ardor Ocal and Jimmy Corderas?
She's pretty good.
She knows her stuff, and she's quick, and she can think without just having the questions in front of her. That's a lot of the thing that WWE guys cannot do.
Yeah. It's why I really like when they get her on commentary at NXT.
Now, I have a big...
When her and William Regal are on commentary and flirting is the best thing ever.
I have a fear, because ESPN is trying to steal our Renee Young. You know, do you guys know that?
You and Renee Young need to get a room, that's...
When you saw her, like, the Hall of Fame, she's all looking, like, all pin-up. That was awesome. All right, Angelina Love.
Can we stop?
You have a question?
Yeah. We got a microphone here, man. If you got some questions, line up with the mic so we know that you're up there.
All right. Let's cheer up. Let's get... Have a hand for Norman Smiley.
Do the wiggle.
I thought it was I had to say it.
Yeah.
Should Kazuki Okada, should he be at the top of New Japan right now, or should it be Shinsuke or Hiroshi Tanahashi? And will Hiroki Goto ever get over and get that championship run?
Sasuke? We're all looking at you, Ben.
And I'm thinking. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Okay.
The only thing I care about New Japan is the fact that AJ Styles went there.
Okay.
Because a man that talented should be making a living.
Why has he never gotten a run in the WWE?
Because as they have come flat out and said it, they don't want him.
Is it because of his deep accent, like southern accent?
No.
No.
Here's one thing, though.
I think Vincent has some self-hatred going on because he's
from... He doesn't want anybody from TNA.
Also...
Or at least that's the public statement. He doesn't want anybody from TNA.
And if you've gone there, you're not coming to us.
Yeah. Also, like, if I'm thinking from... If I'm thinking of, like, a marketing standpoint, and I look at AJ Styles, right? And I look at him, and I've seen him sort of, like, just around and at a show. I feel like he doesn't have the visual. He doesn't have that. He still looks like a frat boy to me. You know what I mean? It was still sort of, like, still frat boy. You know, when I saw him grow his hair out, and he was doing, what was it? The no one? The what was it? Well, is it the no one? Right. Is that what it was?
Ben,
when he did that, I was like... I still believe that AJ Styles and John Morrison will be a badass tag team if that ever happens.
Yeah. That AJ Styles and anyone could be a badass tag team.
Yeah.
I'll sum it up like this. AJ Styles has it in the ring. He doesn't have it on one of these.
And in WWE, you sort of have to... When you get adopted, you have to have both. I feel like. They can build it from the ground.
This than WWE, quite honestly.
Yeah, it's like a 70-30%.
For those of you listening on the podcast, I'm pointing at my microphone.
Yes, exactly. You have a question.
Yeah. Quick question.
Real quick.
Make it quick.
Get to the point. What's your opinion on Raw going from 2 to 3 hours? Because I watched NXT, 1 hour, a whole lot of good stuff. But 3 hours, I can kind
of... Yeah, but there's also a lot of trash in NXT. Like Mojo Rawley.
Yeah.
Sorry, but when a guy his size uses Earthquake's finishing move, there's a problem.
You know, Mojo's also around from around here too.
He's from Maryland. Yeah.
So we got so many people from DC. So we don't have to just rely on Batista.
Yeah.
Even though I'm gonna love Guardians of the Galaxy, but
dude, I can't wait to see that movie.
Go ahead, Mike.
Speaking on your 3 hour point, I think it's oversaturating some of the guys, but we're seeing too much of them and too much of the replay too. I don't need to watch once again what I just saw before the commercial.
And you know what that
Give
is?
Give me more action.
And you know what that is, right? We're running out of content that can be, you know what I mean?
See, that's
move
the thing.
Move it back to 2 hours.
Either move it back to 2 hours or use the extra time to make us care about. Actually, when was the last time the US title was defended?
January,
I
want to say January, maybe?
Hacksaw and WCW?
1991.
Yeah, it was Hacksaw, Jim Duggan, and WCW.
Let me throw this idea at you guys. What if they tried something out? First hour is NXT.
That's. I would love that. I was thinking, like, I would love it just to be like division. You know, light heavyweight or whatever.
Keep SmackDown all on Friday on WWE, that's fine. But NXT, first hour, 8 to 9 on Raw, leading up into it.
You know, that's great because that would actually make the pro wrestling aspect of WWE feel legitimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And once you get rid of like no time limit, once you get rid of those things, it's sort of like, you know, I love professional wrestling, but I'm still, you know, the suspension of belief of disbelief. I'm like, oh, these guys are going to settle their differences in the ring for 1, 2, 3 pins. Sort of like, you know, I love
ECW
it, but it's so
kind
absurd.
Of killed, ECW kind of killed suspension of disbelief in wrestling. I'm like,
but they did inject reality.
That dude just got like 77 pile drivers through a table and he still kicked out. How are you beating that guy with a leg drop?
Wait. You should not be blaming ECW. You blame Japan for doing that.
Well, no,
doing
it's
a multiple finisher move.
But to your average American.
Only horror movie characters have that kind of thing.
So you have a question, Miss.
Like the shirt.
Yes.
Like
absolutely.
The shirt. Respect.
I said that on the way in. I'm saying it again. Shout outs.
Do you think that maybe a good first step for the Divas division would be to give them more titles or something?
No.
I want Dan to answer this.
No. Because it's like if they... Right now, it's like if they're not feuding with someone like the champion, then... They don't have anything.
What do you think, Dan? I want to hear Dan.
Okay, this is what I think. Basically, and I've said this before, when the Divas come on, this is what I do. I get up, I go get a snack, I use the bathroom, I do anything that does not involve sitting at my TV and watching wrestling. Why? Because it's... I mean, look at AJ Lee's title ring. It's basically facing the same half a dozen people over and over again, and none of them have, none of them have the talent to make an interesting match that's beyond 2-2.5 minutes, if that. As opposed to, I mean, I will give TNA this, they have a great women's division.
Far superior.
Be honest with me. I understand that it's far superior, right?
Yeah.
But the TNA women's division in, right now has like three people in it.
Well, let's count it. You have...
Gail Kim?
Nope.
ODB.
Gone.
Is she
gone?
Yeah. ODB's gone? ODB never wrestles. She's merely Eric Young's sidekick.
Does TNA even have contracts or what? Hey, can you come in this weekend?
Lady Tapper's gone this week.
Yeah. So is Mickey James gone?
Mickey James is long gone.
So Gail Kim's gone?
The beautiful
Mickey James had Magnus's baby and left.
Madison Rayne is the current champion.
Eric Young is the young one.
Who is your favorite? Who's your favorite diva, guys? Today.
That's on the WWE roster.
Female wrestler.
That's active today. I just have to go with Gail Kim.
Gail Kim.
I'd say AJ.
AJ.
Yeah.
Emma.
Yes.
No one likes Paige.
Paige is still a little too raw for me.
I'm happy that no one mentioned Natalya.
Here's what I think they could do to fix the Divas Division. The last time the Divas Division was truly great with like Trish Stratus and Lita, yes, it helped that they were talented, but it also helped that they had a dedicated writing team.
Yeah.
They had what they gave Fit Finley the Divas Division as punishment. And Mickey James and Trish Stratus regularly stole every show they were on.
Mm-hmm. Wait, who said that? Who is your favorite diva?
Lita
Trish
Stratus.
Nice.
If you're talking about my favorite,
I just love the fact that it's you guys saying that. It's so cool that like you guys like. I don't know if you've ever been. Any of you been to a Ring of Honor show? Two or three. Every time I go to a Ring of Honor show, there's a person I call like. I'm not laughing at this. And don't take it bad if I'm talking about like age, but in the front row of the Ring of Honor show, there are at least like three. There are three really, really, like, I would say elderly people there, like, legitimately elderly, and they are cheering and rocking. Yeah, they're hardcore, like, wrestling fans, and I'm just like, oh my god, those people love wrestling.
I want to be those guys.
Yeah. Legit, I just had to throw that.
No, I understand, but I think, like, they gave Fit Finley.
Huh?
She's gone.
No.
Oh, you're back there.
Yeah.
All right. They gave Fit Finley.
We're still talking about your question.
They gave Fit Finley.
Don't leave us.
We've done it so long that you went back in line.
But they gave Fit Finley the Divas Division as punishment for something. And he made it the best thing on TV because it was a dedicated writing team. And we're seeing Divas now come up through NXT like Paige, Emma. We're gonna see Charlotte here soon.
Can I say who's today my favorite diva?
Yeah.
And I don't even know if this is based on like talent or being able to work, but I really like Oksana. I think she's freaking awesome.
Did you know that Renee Young is technically a diva?
You know, like, then Renee Young. I see potential in Oksana, guys. Look at that. Just watch it again. And you know what's pretty awesome? She injured Naomi.
I'm okay with that.
She has the potential to sell calendars, yes I
hear. Yeah.
All right. And the other thing they need to do is they need to stop making the Divas Division about a crappy reality TV show.
All right. Next question. We'll go back to the Divas later.
I'm sure
we have to.
We don't have to. All right. Your question, sir.
I know.
I guess it's time for my brain.
There seems to be a trend in WWE right now of using bad booking to elicit emotional responses from the fans.
Yeah.
Like keeping Daniel Bryan out of the Rumble or having a really crappy build-up to the Taker-Brock match, so that was why
that
it was
wasn't
shocking.
That wasn't really a crappy build-up, it was just a bad payoff. The whole Undertaker coming out of the casket thing.
I don't know how much of a story they really had.
Well, that's because the Undertaker only shows up 1 month a year.
Right, but they didn't even use, UFC versus defending wrestling or anything like that. There was no emotional... background with the build-up. It was all just, really standard stuff so that we were especially shocked when he lost. That's not really my question, though.
You might have been shocked.
That's a comment.
Yeah, but my question is that just, a what we're gonna have to deal with in the reality era? Are there things they can do to like bring storytelling back into the booking as opposed to shocking stuff just because we don't see it coming?
I just bring it down to not really having future planning. Or not listening sometimes too.
I think I want to talk to the Royal Rumble for a minute. Keeping Daniel Bryan out of the Royal Rumble was the smartest thing the WWE have done. Because it led to WrestleMania. And they knew it would lead to WrestleMania. They knew that the crowd would go insane. They knew they would get coverage on the BBC. They knew they would get coverage on ESPN. They knew they would get coverage in the New York Times. And they knew the Yes Movement would take off. Look at what we've got.
I want to, on the same subject of the Yes Movement.
Which
we started here. And I actually want to continue the movement of this Yes Movement, because right now I'm producing the documentary of AwesomeCon.
Yeah.
And the camera crew is right here. And I would really love it if all of us can do an amazing Yes chant just for this camera right now, because it needs to happen. And we need to get this done. So on the count, are you guys down with doing this? Can we do a hardcore
yes
chant?
Yes!
Yes! Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes! Yes! Yes! Yes!
The power!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Can we come around and look?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Can we
Yes!
Just for the sake of where we are you down with also doing an AwesomeCon chant? Would that be okay?
Yeah!
All right. We're gonna do this. So the count of three, it's just gonna go AwesomeCon. Are you guys cool with that?
Sure.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go!
AwesomeCon! 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 AwesomeCon!
Awesome! Thanks, guys. That was awesome.
I think the people. It's a female anime drawing next door. Like, what the hell is going on?
I know. People are yelling, yes.
And can you guys do me a favor? As much as you see the guys walking around in the Brute Squad shirts, these guys are working their butts off.
Yes! Yes!
Could we give them a round of applause?
Yes. Give the documentary crew a round of applause. They are awesome.
They are Brute Squad!
Yeah.
And for me, at least, thank you for your hard work. And thank you for your hard work.
Now, let's go back to talking about things we don't like.
So, Bo Dallas.
Bo leave.
It's Bo time.
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Do you think Sting is going to come in, or if, and who is he going to face first? I'm in here stoked about him, maybe Undertaker, and when do you think Undertaker is going to go on the Hall of Fame? And what about Jeff Jarrett's new promotion?
I have a lot to say about Jarrett's new.
All right. Since you're, I'm not gonna cock block you, but I'm gonna keep it down because I want to at least hear from the rest of the guys. Mike.
Well, I mean, I've heard the rumors about Sting next year at WrestleMania with the Undertaker. At this point,
no.
Is it gonna matter? It would have mattered if he beat Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
Then it would have really mattered at 23-0 or 22-1. Right now, though, Sting versus Undertaker, I don't care.
Because he's not as strong. He doesn't appear strong anymore.
Yeah, and by the way, Sting has been around forever. I think at this point, Sting doesn't have any steam anymore.
We have to be honest about the Undertaker and Sting at this point. Neither of them are as young as they used to be.
Both are pushing the
daisies. And they're both pushing the daisies up at this point. I just don't think it would be a very good match. I don't think it would be a very good legacy for either of them to leave as their last match. The Undertaker already has a bad legacy to leave as his last match, if you ask me. And as for Sting, we know he is in talks with the WWE. He has appeared on the WWE Network in the Ultimate Warrior documentary.
It was really great to see that, too. I will say this,
man, he broke my heart talking about the Ultimate Warrior. I don't think Sting will wrestle the Ultimate Warrior. I think...
Of course not.
I don't think so either.
That's never going to happen, man.
Sorry.
I
don't think Sting will wrestle the Undertaker. There are talks that they want to do a Sting retrospective DVD, the WWE, and I think they're going to sign him to a Legends contract, and I think they're going to put him in the Hall of Fame. I don't think we're going to see him as an active wrestler. Well, I have to be honest.
What was the second half of that question? Global Force. All right, Ben. What do you think about Jeff Jarrett's promotion, Global Force?
The moment Jeff Jarrett realized he couldn't hang with the TNA champions anymore, he left, decided to start his own promotion, and he's going to make himself champion again, just like he did in TNA. That's why he started GFW.
Oh, the King of the Mountain?
Yeah.
So you're saying he's the Carlos Colon of North America in that aspect?
I legitimately think that this is a huge ego stroke for Jarrett.
Absolutely.
Mike, are you a fan of Jeff Jarrett?
No.
Have you ever been?
No.
No? Double
never
J?
Never saw anything in the Jeff Jarrett.
Thing Jeff,
in
the smartest thing Jeff Jarrett ever
family,
did.
Family, right?
The smartest thing Jeff Jarrett ever did was do the job that AJ Styles.
Next question.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Yes. Hi.
Howdy.
Howdy. My question is, you know how you feel about AJ being in New Japan now?
Yep.
Of course, that came at the cost, actually, the resignation of another really good wrestler, and that is the real rock and roll on Prince Devitt. And I wanted to know your thoughts on him and what the future may hold for him, because he's a good talent.
What do you think, Dan?
I guess this leads into TNA, I guess, a bit. I support TNA much in the same way that I support my local Kmart or dollar store.
I would like you to know, wait a minute. Do any of you follow Dan Noakes on Facebook? At all?
That guy is amazing.
Literally.
Do I have to admit to it?
Literally, his wall. His wall is basically just this long hate list of like what's wrong with TNA.
So the point is, he's still writing now.
You know,
I'll say this.
May is coming soon, and a new enemies list will be created.
I'll say this about TNA right now. I'm really enjoying MVP. I'm not gonna lie, he's doing a really good job.
But did you like the writing of Eric Young?
All right. As I've said earlier in this panel.
Wait, Mike, do you watch TNA?
I do.
All right.
I do. I try to catch it as much as possible. I'm not as up on it as you guys.
As I said earlier in this panel, over the last.
You know what happened with Eric Young though?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Over the last 18 months, TNA has been going out of their way to copy every storyline the WWE has done and do it badly. The Eric Young winning the title off of Magnus a week after
Brian
wins at beats Randy Orton is not a coincidence.
That wasn't even a week, man. Yeah.
Well, it's four days. but I will say this, if there is anyone in the TNA company that deserves it, it's Eric Young.
Here's Christopher Daniels.
Christopher Daniels is in a tag team right now. Give him the tag team titles. Don't be the WWE and split up perfectly good tag teams to put on your singles belt.
But Eric Young, wait, I'm trying to remember. Did Eric Young ever go to Ring of Honor?
No.
Did Christopher Daniels go to the ring? Yeah, there you go.
Here's the thing on top of that. The one thing, though, is it's a strange
dichotomy.
Yeah, dichotomy, because here on one end they're ripping off the Daniel Bryan angle on Eric Young, but in a lot of ways Eric Young was Daniel Bryan before Daniel Bryan was Daniel Bryan.
No. Eric Young may have been Eric Young on on TNA TV, but Daniel Bryan was Bryan Danielson long before Eric Young was Eric Young.
I really enjoy Eric Young. Eric Young is probably 10 times better than Santino at comedy, I think. But I'm not saying that Santino is bad at comedy, but I watched Eric Young in one match, like at a TNA house show, do armbar, front flip, flip up 15 times in a row, like in a sequence. And I was like, is this the match?
This is your booking.
Yeah. Right.
Who is calling this match?
No, but that's the genius. It was like there's this greatness in comedy of like, all right, it's funny. Now it's getting annoying. Now you keep on. You're still doing it. This is freaking hilarious.
It's the family, I think.
Yeah.
It's like the joke.
Yeah.
To me, it's like Santino is kind of like doing a really bad like Marx Brothers or Three Stooges and thing, and then watching.
Can we get Emma away from Santino before he carries her?
Here's a question though for you guys. I know you guys like the hard edge wrestling style, but do you guys enjoy the comedy style wrestling? Like even Shakira Pro, but the
comedy.
I have no problem with comedy wrestling.
Who is your favorite? Who would be your favorite?
You guys won't know my favorite because he was a comedy wrestler when I was growing up in England when I was 5 years old.
That's no fair.
I don't care.
Deep cuts, or at least how about like today's work? Who is the best comedy performer right now?
Colt.
Colt is pretty awesome. I stand by Colt.
Depends on your definition of comedy.
Who does the best comedy match?
Colt.
Colt. Remember, Dan?
I would have said Eric Young up until recently, but now they're sort of putting him on a more serious angle, so he's kind of like toned the whole comedy angle back to a certain degree. I mean,
Rockstar Spud.
Rockstar.
What about you, Mike? Shout out to Rockstar Spud for actually being entertaining.
Spud's actually
he's entertaining.
Yeah.
I know, right? You know, he's a twit, but he's really funny.
And can I just, at this panel last year, I spoke about my favorite match of all time will always be Bret Hart Bulldog at SummerSlam 92. Mainly because I was in the fourth row.
Don't you brag about it.
I'm sorry, we get one pay-per-view ever. Yeah, I'm going to brag about being in the fourth row.
Of course you should.
But someone called me out on whether I thought the future of English wrestling is strong. And Barrett. Page, Magnus, like it or not, Rockstar Spud for what he's worth. Yeah, the few, Adrian Neville, Oliver Gray down in NXT. Yeah, the future for English wrestling is strong, and they're coming for your world title. Bad news. I've got some bad news for you.
All right, let's take a question.
Hey, so we kind of alluded to this today, but just to let it out clear, do you guys feel the streak should have been ended at WrestleMania? And if not, or if the streak should have been ended, instead of Brock Lesnar having that put on him, how would you guys have booked the ending of Undertaker's streak?
Let me hear that from Mike. Let me hear
what Lesnar's going to come.
What about you think, Mike?
I don't think he should have ended the streak, quite honestly. I mean, it was the one constant about WrestleMania. It was one of the reasons people tuned in, and I think, quite honestly, last year his match with CM Punk was pretty solid,
yeah.
And that should have been it. There was no reason for him to feud with Brock Lesnar this year. I guess they just had to have Brock on a show, and that's why they did it, but for him to end it with Brock, I don't like that.
I would have ended it one WrestleMania prior to that with Triple H.
It had end of an era in the title.
They literally walked each other out.
It was 20-0, it's the perfect ending, number. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I will go on record as saying I don't care if the streak's ended. I have no problem with The Undertaker ending the streak as long as it's his last match. I have a problem with the fact that it was the worst match I've literally ever seen. And that it was dropped to a part-time wrestler that not a lot of people in this room care about. If you're going to drop that streak, you drop it to someone to make them. You drop that on Ziggler. You drop it on Cesaro. You drop it on Roman Reigns. You don't really need to make Roman Reigns. He's kind of making himself. You drop it on Seth freaking Rollins is who you drop it on. The architect of the Shield who put The Undertaker through the table after the last WrestleMania. Seth Rollins is like, I've been planning this for a year. I'm coming for you, dead man. I just wrote the story. Drop it to Seth Rollins, boom.
I think just an addendum onto what he said, it's like, I don't know, like I said, I don't know Brock Lesnar's thought process, but I think he comes off as a guy that doesn't fully appreciate what kind of, like, you know, I don't want to over-dramatize it, the quote-unquote honor that he was given and show the fall. I mean, Paul Heyman did, but definitely Lesnar does not, at least in my head, understand the gravity of what he was given.
And I think all of us on the stage agree, if that was Undertaker's last match, he headlines the Hall of Fame next year.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Assuming it's not Randy Savage, which would be a conflict.
Yeah.
Now we're... That's...
I just hope if that was his last match, he will go out with dignity, like when Ric Flair had his last match. He went out like a warrior, you know, like he should have. If Undertaker comes back, I lose respect for that.
Well, Flair kind of did his comeback thing in TNA for a while there. For me, that tarnished his legacy a bit.
So
up until that point, I legitimately thought Ric Flair was the greatest thing
Though we did get that wonderful 10 minutes between him and Jay Lethal with the Flair versus Flair on mic thing that was one of the best comedy gold bits I think I've ever watched.
So you're saying that Ric Flair is your favorite comedy wrestler?
At that moment,
he's
yes.
I'm not. Flair is pretty freaking funny. That Flair flop. Oh my god.
It's the best.
That's the best sell ever.
He elbowed that expensive jacket like no other man did.
Like the next time I get in a fight, I want to do the Flair flop just for the hell of it, man. Oh, I'm like, get out of the way, get out of the way, and just like
I
drop.
I need to get this out of the way because my friend Manson and I have had this running for over 2 days. Say what you like about the Aces and Eights and how bad the angle was. I've had their music running through my head for 2 straight days. Damn, man, that was some good music.
You have a question, sir?
Yes, before I start.
You again, get out of here. The guy behind you has not a turn here.
That's what he did last year. He did it 2 times.
Yeah. Yeah, but he did it in a Hulkamania shirt last year.
Okay.
Yeah, before I start, I'd say, Mike, I woke up with DC 101 on my radio this morning.
Nice.
Thank you. You guys don't need to applaud that, but thank you for getting in. I appreciate it.
Can we do a slow clap to that?
You're just going for like the cheapest pop possible. Right here in Washington D.C.
Hey, a pop is a pop.
That's right. Now you have a question.
Yeah, I got two actually.
All right.
Do you think
limit yourself, man. Yeah.
Do you think that Ring of Honor is limiting itself by being with Sinclair Broadcasting? And do you watch Lucha like AAA and CMLL? Or what do you think about them?
I still don't know the psychology of any of the Lucha wrestling at all.
What?
I'm not sure I know the rules to Lucha wrestling at this point.
Just go out there and be crazy and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And what was your other question?
Do you think Ring of Honor is limited with itself being with Sinclair Broadcasting?
Well, I mean, before they had nothing. I mean, I guess they had HDNet, but in between that they had nothing. I personally would really wish that Sinclair would give them some more money for production value. That would be great.
Solidified themselves, maybe. But the question always becomes, no matter how many times you talk about any other wrestling competition, be it TNA, Ring of Honor, this new GFW, when will the WWE get competition? It ain't gonna happen.
They need it.
They do.
Well, in reality, their competition is, you know, themselves or whether real fight, whether real sport is on at that day.
Stop being other wrestling organizations roughly around 2000 or so when WCW was on its downside.
Let me sum it up like this. What's TNA's biggest pay-per-view of the year?
Does anyone buy a TNA pay-per-view?
Exactly.
You mean buy a pay-per-view?
I thought it was supposed to be Bound for Glory.
But TNA pay-per-views happen in a studio in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
WrestleMania
sir.
Just had 80,000 people at it.
Silverdome looked great.
It did.
Yes, Silverdome!
Silverdome. So you have a question, sir?
Yes, first off, Mike, Joe, I've had you guys on my podcast before. You guys have been great guests.
Plug it.
That wrestling show
Man,
every Thursday
why'd
on
you sit down? What?
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's 5:30.
Yeah, okay.
Is there a panel in here after this one?
No.
So can we keep going?
I'm still going for the that we started at 4:45 time. we're gonna we still got
shout out to Boot Squad.
Yeah. Taking right. over. So we have all 15 right. minutes. All right. So what was your question? I love your podcast. Your podcast is great. What is it again?
That wrestling show.
That wrestling show.
Yep.
Okay. .com.
Do you guys think with everything that's happened, WrestleMania, Ring of Honor now being on live pay per view in a couple of months? Everything that's been going on. Are we on the verge of another boom period in wrestling?
Can I ask Dan that question first? I haven't heard from Dan for a while.
Okay. Repeat your question.
I literally hate you right now.
Dan, are we on a new boom of professional wrestling today?
Are we on the verge of a new boom?
I'm going with... It's too early to tell. I mean, at this point, it falls back on competition for the WWE. I mean, serious competition to the point where it's drawing audiences away from them. And in that respect, no. I guess I would have to go with no because, again, it's like, yes, you have your ROH, you have your TNA, you have Japan, you have all these other organizations, and you have the ability to watch it on the internet with YouTube and other media outlets. But does that, again, does that spell and drawing away of any serious audience from WWE to other entities? No. I'm sorry. I've got to go with no. There's not really a boom. I will say that places like ROH is sort of. I said this before in the past with ROH. ROH is to WWE now what AWA was to WWE in the 1980s.
What about you, Mike?
You know, I kind of equate the same thing to music, where right now we have so many bands coming up, you don't know or care about any of their stuff.
And
so many guys.
The same.
Yeah, exactly. And all these wrestlers that are coming up. Now, there are definitely creams of the crop that rise to the top, but there are wrestlers coming up that are just, they have no business being in wrestling. You know, and I wonder, are we going to have the same situation where we had, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, where these guys come up, they're there for 3 months, and they're gone all of a sudden. And like, what the heck happened to this guy, you know? He just got a t-shirt made, and now he's gone. You know, I hope that doesn't happen again. I don't want the oversaturation. If you want real competition for WWE, split the brands up again.
Yes.
Make them compete against themselves. Put them back on Raw and SmackDown. That's the way to do it.
And yes. I really enjoyed that. Paul Heyman on one side. And
absolutely.
That's that competition with itself. That's how you do it.
I get rid of the 3-hour Raw, too.
Not to mention, you can make the Intercontinental and U.S. titles have the possibility.
Right now, sadly, the competition for Raw and SmackDown is NXT.
Yeah. It absolutely is.
My
answer to your question is, it depends on your definition of a boom period. You are seeing baseball teams, basketball teams celebrating doing this.
Yeah.
That's a boom. People are getting to know wrestling that have never known it before. And I'm okay with that.
Next question.
Another women's wrestling question?
I love women's wrestling.
Do you guys feel like a lot of the pre-Diva era women's wrestling and wrestlers are sort of overlooked? I mean, I feel like, you know, people are like, oh, well, it started with Sable and then it peaked with Lita.
The original Diva was the Fabulous Moolah.
Yeah, and what about like Wendy Richter and Judy Martin?
Are we forgetting about Amandra Blaze and Tokyo?
Well, not to know, and all those people.
Yes, they get overlooked and it sucks.
Yeah.
Yes, Sherry Martel would definitely top my list on
her.
Is Sherry in the Hall of Fame yet?
She was. She gave the greatest speech, man. I loved her speech.
Nice. It's just a shame that with the way that they're on reality TV now, you overlook all the great things that women did before. Now it's all about...
And it takes seeing like a Hall of Fame for your more modern fan to go, who's Lita?
Which is great.
No, it's not.
Well, you have the networks, so now they can find out.
No, it's not. It shouldn't take the Hall of Fame for them to go, who's Lita? Like, every time you go through the start of a Raw show, you see Andre the Giant, you see Hulk Hogan. Where's Mae Young? Where's Alundra Blaze? Where's
Luna?
Moolah?
Yeah.
Arguably the greatest women's champion of all time. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
I mean, they were the women's wrestlers too. It's a matter of that, like they said, it's the package, the external package has overshadowed the athletics and the performance end of it. Definitely. I mean, again, that's why I don't watch the Divas. That's my fight break time when the Divas division is on.
Like when I do watch a Divas match, I really hope. I look at it, I'm like, man, I hope they put on a good match. I give it that moment, you know.
But you know they're not going to win. You see the stomach kicks that hit the top of their thigh or something, and they just look sloppy.
You are an optimistic man, and I am envious.
This is my main problem with Divas matches, or even Knockouts matches a lot of times. They have a hard time actually having a good finish.
Yeah.
Like
90% of finishes in a Knockouts or a Divas match is a roll-up.
No.
Here's my problem with women's wrestling in general. This isn't a huge generalization. It will, and we've talked about this quite a bit, is it's not crisp. It's saggy. Like, you know, their clotheslines are weak. Their drop kicks look bad. But on top of that, their psychology is bad. They don't tell a good story.
You know who I do like, and she retired as a wrestler, and she was from, she's a Knockout, a TNA Knockout, is Roxy.
Yeah.
I really loved Roxy.
Yeah. But in terms of storytelling, at least in the ring, I thought Gail Kim was a great storyteller.
She is.
I mean, can I be honest with you? I can't remember which WrestleMania it was. Maybe you guys can help me out with this. the culmination of the Mickey James Trish Stratus.
Oh, the one where she did the crotch grab?
Yeah, that was the best match on the card.
Except for the finish. She botched the finish.
But the story they told.
Yeah, that was a great story.
Trish injured her leg early. Mickey was working it all the way through the match. There was a clear progression. JR put them over. They were like, oh my God, this is so clever. Going back to what we were talking about NXT and what you were talking about. Commentators make matches. And I'm fairly of the opinion that JBL, Michael Cole, and Jerry Lawler don't care about women's wrestling. And it shows.
Absolutely.
Because your crowd doesn't care.
They're laughing through a lot of those matches about other nonsense that's going on.
Remember the female NXT? They destroyed that. They're better than
NXT. I will say this. At NXT Arrival, when Emma did the powerbomb to Paige off the top rope and the crowd started chanting better than Batista, I was like, yep.
You have a question, sir?
So 3-4 months ago, I started really getting into Cesaro. It's getting massive pops.
Yep.
We started to get pops. Crowd started to warm up. Got the
King of Swing.
All that good stuff. The NXT Arrival, great match.
The 2 out of 3 falls, yeah. Sami Zayn match.
Oh, great. And then he breaks up with the Real Americans, wins the Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets hooked in with Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the thought process. He was turning face. It looked like
tell me you did not lose your mind when he body slammed Big Show outside.
Let me say this. Paul Heyman is this good on the microphone that he cut that promo with Brock Lesnar and everyone in the building was booing him. He walked out with Antonio Cesaro, called Antonio Cesaro the King of Swing, and the entire crowd lost their damn minds. It doesn't matter if he was with Paul Heyman. We're in a generation now where people can point to Paul Heyman and go, he's the manager of the 1-in-21-1. He's damn good at his job. And we know why he's here. Right? I don't think that's a bad...
Not at all.
Yeah?
No, I think Cesaro right now still needs that spokesperson. He can talk, but he can't do it. He can't do it like he's supposed to do it on a WWE microphone.
Yeah. And I will say this. Exactly. The number one contendership tournament for the Intercontinental title is the dumbest thing they've done in a long time. Because you've put Bad News Barrett, who's incredibly hot right now, Antonio Cesaro, who's incredibly hot right now, and like two or three really hot wrestlers in a tournament where 3 out of 4 of them are gonna get crushed. Mm-hmm. And you know Cesaro is coming out the other end.
Let me ask you this. Would you guys like to see Wade Barrett and Cesaro in that final number one?
I would.
Because I'd much rather see that than the heel villain that you know it's going
to
be.
Yeah. I would like to see Wade Barrett wrestle anybody. I love watching Wade Barrett.
Yeah. Here's one logical thing that I have against Wade Barrett's character. His finish, when he switches the elbow pad, sorts it around. That doesn't do anything.
But it's his.
That's what I love about it.
But
that's
his equivalent of stomping in the corner before chin music.
Yeah.
It's his equivalent of.
Rock his elbow pads off before he did.
But that's
people's.
But that's what. But that's what I love about it. Like, I was just going to make it turn it red. You know?
And here's the other thing, right? It is a bull hammer, so you turn it
turn red. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who saw that connection? Apparently so. And here's the other thing about Barrett that I think is really good about the Bullhammer, which was shown on Raw, or was it SmackDown, one of the two, where he basically bullhammered Kofi out of the middle of the air. It can come from anywhere.
Was that on SmackDown?
I think it was.
Yeah.
And because like Kofi was going for the trouble, and he just went, wow, you're like, wow.
You know, SmackDown's been having some good matches.
SmackDown's been looking strong.
Yeah. I'm like, that's where you go. All right.
I'll be honest with you. What I would like to have seen is them to just give Cesaro the title shot for the win in the Battle Royal and then Barrett to be his number one contender.
Well, they're trying to give that legitimacy to the Intercontinental title again with this tournament.
Then stop hiding it behind tournaments and have him defend it.
But yeah, exactly.
We had a WrestleMania where the tag team titles were defended on the pre-show.
Which
the U.S. champion was in a six-man tag.
It's real to me, damn it.
The U.S. champion was in...
The US champion was in a six-man tag, which was a complete crush match, and Big E was in a battle royal.
Yeah, but let's be thankful.
If there's one show per year.
Ben, let's just all be thankful that that Sean Puffy Combs did not do a performance at WrestleMania this year.
But let's be honest, like, In Living Color killed him last year.
Yeah.
Like, they really did.
Yeah. All right, so one last question.
I'm going to answer more, because they're going to have to drag me out of here.
All right, we still got a little bit of time, so.
A little bit of time? Okay, then I'll just end. Okay, I know there's some TNA fans here.
Ha!
So, okay, there's one.
The term you're looking for is the TNA fan.
Okay. But best TNA pay-per-view, worst TNA pay-per-view?
All of them for worst.
Wait, of all time?
The best one was Destination X with Christopher Daniels, Chris Sabin, and AJ Styles.
Do you guys want the six-sided ring or not?
Yes.
Yes.
Bring back the six-sided ring.
It made them different.
Yeah, exactly.
And the only reason it went away is because Hogan showed up.
Yeah.
I like the six-sided ring.
That's just two angles too much. Hogan not
had
that.
I missed
the amount of sides on this ring is too damn high.
I do miss when they used to come from like that tunnel that they walked out. Why can't they bring the tunnel back? And still have those big ass lights.
Has questions for us, man.
All right, Blue Ranger, you'll be the last question.
This is actually more of an observation that I've noticed. NXT Arrival, I thought Paige and Emma was literally the best match on that card.
I disagree, but it was certainly up there.
It was definitely one of the best ones, but the thing is that for me also, I think that's also the best women's match that the WWE's had since Lita and Trish on Raw. What do you think about that? I mean, that's just me, though. I mean, obviously, I have...
But let's start with Ben, because I like letting Ben start with the team.
I'm only talking about WWE, I'm not talking about TNA.
You have to bear in mind that Paige, Emma, and if she took it a lot more seriously, Natalya, are the only three divas in the divas division right now that can have a hope of hanging with Trish and Lita. Because the thing that they did differently at Arrival is their submissions look like submissions, their power bombs look like power bombs, their kicks look like kicks. Problem is, they still fluffed a few things. But I would completely agree with you that it is the best one-on-one women's match since Lita and Trish, yeah.
What about you, Mike?
Without question, yeah. You know, and just to add on to your point, they weren't doing sloppy moves the entire time. They looked, even though there were some botches, and they're up-and-comers too, that's NXT.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be a women's match in NXT that's better than what's on WWE programming, but it's all the time.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
The one thing I will say for that match is they botched the end of the match. If you kick out of your opponent's finishing move.
See? They have trouble doing finishes, right?
No, I'm talking about this was creative. This wasn't necessarily this isn't the fault of Emmett and Paige. It's the problem with creative, right? If you kick out of your opponent's finishing move that she has pinned everybody else with, you don't instantly give in to another submission. You go on the offense for a little while. That is how you do the psychology of a wrestling match.
What about you, Dan?
I mean, just to add on.
All right, have you actually seen the match? Because you don't have the WWE Network.
I didn't see it, but I was making a comment about something else. I hear stuff about like Trish Stratus, and she is a great wrestler. She's one of the great women wrestlers of the last decade or so. But let's also put another point in there. Trish Stratus, when she started out as a wrestler, after she was a valet for a while, was not the greatest wrestler.
I have to point out to you that when you say in the last decade or so, next year it will be 10 years since Eddie Guerrero died. Trish was gone before that. She hasn't wrestled in nearly 15 years, dude.
It's been a while.
Alright, decade and a half.
Hold.
Back to my...
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the bad news.
Oh, that's the thing. Drop the streak to Damien Sandow. He can outthink The Undertaker. He is the intellectual savior. Just saying.
One of the great things about Trish Stratus, she did not start out as a great wrestler. Matter of fact, she was pretty mediocre. But it was watching her hone her craft over those couple years and actually get good at what she was doing was what I enjoyed watching from her, as opposed to a lot of these other wrestlers, female wrestlers, that kind of just stick at the same level of competence and don't bother to hone that sort of athletic performance.
Well, the other thing with Trish is she had people of a better level to bring her up.
Oh,
she had a good support system around
whereas
her.
Whereas the sad thing about Paige and Emma right now is they are so far ahead of every other WWE diva that they're going to be bringing the divas up to them.
Yeah.
And that is sad.
They run circles around those girls.
I mean, just go back for a minute. If you get time and you have the network, go back tonight and rewatch that match with Emma and Paige. And look at that submission that Emma puts Paige in, where she's got her head, foot on the back of her head, and she's cranking her arms. You'd never see AJ or Naomi or the Billas do a move like that.
Who? I'm sorry, what was that?
Bruce. It's sad. I mean, it's kind of what NXT's for, though. Is to make the next generation. And if they keep on like this, the future of women's wrestling's bright.
There you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to make this announcement, I have some
bad news!
That is the end of the panel.
Can we do one thing before the end of the panel?
What?
This was my favorite part of WrestleMania, and since he's asked for so many chants, can I get a rousing rendition of He's Got the Whole World in His Hands?
Yes!
All right.
Lead it, Ben.
All right. He's got the whole world
in his hands.
He's got the whole world in his hands. The whole world in his hands. Bray Wyatt for WWE Champion.
Yes. Thank you, everybody.
I love that song. I love that song. It's such a great song. There you go, guys. Pro Wrestling Today, the new movement live from Awesome Con. What a crazy panel that was. A lot of passion in that panel. A lot of people were there was a lot of passion in that panel. There
people
was a lot of passion, and like, you know, one of the things that, like I said at the beginning of the panel, I was like, all right, my main job today is to make sure a fist fight does not break out between everyone here. And it was surely great that, like, you know, there was rumors that that if someone was not able to make the panel, that Dan Noakes would step in, because he was part of the triad from the year before. And is in, you know, though it sucked that Ben Penrod could not make it because of, you know, other you know, business things, it was great that, you know, that Dan Noakes was right in the front row, ready to take his place. And you know what it really was? It was the show that should have been last year at the first Awesome Con, and that was always pretty exciting, you know. So it was good to have that there. It was awesome. It was great to see.
You know what I would love to see as, like, the wrestling panel grows and grows each year from what I hear at AwesomeCon? It keeps growing.
What's that?
The wrestling panel. I would love to, like, see a major growth spurt in that you actually interview a real wrestler.
Well, see, I was thinking about that, too, and that might be actually a be a little bit of a challenge, because it's like an interview, or it's like either a fun panel
discussion.
The way I can do it, the way I see it, is like those two overlap. Like, we can have a wrestler panel. Like, there'll be a wrestler there, and there's that Q&A, because it's like, if he's going to be there, it'll be a special guest, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then in the middle of the panel, of the pro wrestling panel, I present that he should do a run-in during the Pro Wrestling Today panel, you know what I mean? So it's not like, it's not going to be centered around like, oh, Pro Wrestling Today with so-and-so.
Yeah.
It should be just Pro Wrestling Today, and they just want to come in and be part of it.
And, like, commentate.
Yeah, as opposed to being like, oh, this is his big show only.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think it would be a fun idea, though, just to have a wrestler present at Awesome Con.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know Ben would be supportive of that, and I guess I can see that happening in the future.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to head that way, at least to have one wrestler maybe next year at Awesome.
I mean, I would really love that. It was so close to this one happening this year, but, like, you know, it's Easter, it's tough times to schedule those things. But still, it would be great, and I think it would bring, you know, it bring the whole entire, you know, a new atmosphere. It's something that should happen, because we can tell that there's already the audience for it. You know what I mean? It's there. So, but who that person will be is the mystery. So we'll find out.
Mysteries? Question mark.
Yes. Yes.
Who's behind the door? Who's under the ring?
So thank you everyone for paying attention to us as always. Always very thankful for having you all listen to our podcast. You can find this podcast at CarolynandJoeShow.com, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, wherever you feel like grabbing it and just putting it in your brain. This show is brought to you by Astray Productions, AstrayProductions.com. Also check out my work at JoeCarabeo.com. Also GoAstray.tumblr.com. Also 1-shots.com. And also the lady sitting across me from the studio on the other mic is Karen Bolesky, and she is a cartoonist, and she makes a cartoon and a comic strip called Curls. You can check that out at curls-studio.com/curls. Also Sketch Before Sleep, curls-studio.com/sketch-before-sleep. Check it out every single day, new stuff. Just search the whole entire archive. The whole entire archive. It was great having this. It's great having this panel. It's great having all these panels. Again, thank you, Ben Penrod. Awesome con. Thank you, everyone, for being there, just supporting and, you know, just noticing stuff and giving us an applause. Why not, man? If you'd like something, let people know.
Wrestling forever.
Yes. Woo! Wrestling forever. Woo. See y'all later.
We're here.
My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Hope you had a good time. Be excellent to each other.